Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter number 19, third book in the Bible, Leviticus. We have been studying the gift of speech, and we've seen so many great things that we're able to do because God has allowed us to speak one to another. And then we started in last Friday afternoon, about some of the things that are not so good. And we talked about lying. And we found out the Lord is not for lying. He's against that altogether. But this afternoon, let's look at what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. All right, a talebearer. What would that be? Look in Proverbs chapter 11. Let the Bible tell us what that is. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, a talebearer. Verse number 13, Proverbs 11, 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. All right, so let's pray one more time before we continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's so many things we need to watch out for, and this is one of them. Help us, Lord, to learn to conceal the things that are confided in us from our friends, from our family members, from those who trust us. Help us, Lord, to be trustworthy with the information that people give us, and to not be one who would cause more problems in the church or in our families or in our relationships by opening our mouth when we should not have. And so, Lord, teach us today what we need to know about this topic. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. All right. So to summarize, and then we'll run a bunch of Bible verses here this afternoon. You know things about your husband. Surprising things, shocking things, because you found out somewhere along the way that he had some imperfections. One day you may learn, gentlemen, that your wife has some things in her life that are not fully and completely Christ-like. If you have friends this afternoon, you get together with your friends and you spend time with your friends and you chat with your friends and you do things with your friends, and eventually, when you have spent enough time with them, you're going to see them do things or say things or act in ways that are not entirely righteous. No harm done to a marriage when you find out that your spouse is not perfect. No harm done to a friendship when you find out your friend has got some problems. But when you begin to go about and tell others what you have learned, tell others what you have discovered about the person you're married to, about the person to whom you are a friend, well, now we've got some problems. Now, nobody is denying that there are tales to be told. The Bible is stating, why are you telling those tales? It would not benefit your marriage for you to tell your coworkers about the things your wife does that are wrong or that bother you. It would not help her. It would not help your marriage. And when you do something wrong, it would not help your wife if she went and posted that on Facebook or called all of her friends and told them under a what should I do about what my husband did, that kind of a scenario. All that's going to do is add to the problem. If you're here this afternoon, and we got several young people here, you're a young person, you're a male, you got, let's say you got two friends, and you've got another two friends, okay, that you spend time with, and when you're with these two friends, you're bad-mouthing those two friends, and when you're with those other two friends, you're bad-mouthing these first two friends, and the day, I'm just letting you know, the day will quickly come if you keep opening up your mouth, bad-mouthing one against the other like that. There's going to come a day when you're going to find out you have no friends because those friends, they're going to get together and they're going to find out you're not really their friend. You're just a gossipy tale-bearer, and that never sets well. Some men are studying for the ministry. And they're going to learn the Bible, they're going to learn how to teach the Bible, they're going to develop an ability to preach the Bible, and one day they may be the pastor of a church or a deacon in a church, or they may be working out in the mission field. And you don't have, you know, here's the thing, you don't have to be terribly spiritual to win people to Christ. You follow a biblical formula. You present the right verses. And the Holy Ghost is the one doing the work. And people get saved. People get saved. And really, you don't have to be terribly spiritual to teach people the Bible. Okay? Here's the facts. Point one, point two, point three. I give them to you. You learn them. Great. I've taught you the Bible. Okay? But whether you survive or fail in the ministry is going to depend upon whether or not you can learn to the deepest, darkest secrets about people who come to you for help, for counsel, for prayer, and keep those things to yourself. How long? For the rest of your life. Amen. All right. There have been pastors who have been driven from the ministry or had to go through some kind of a church split because of someone who simply wanted to ruin that man's ministry. Now, that pastor, he could have destroyed his accusers had he chosen to tell publicly what he had been told by them confidentially. And there have also been men who tried to ruin a pastor's ministry by accusing him of things that he didn't do, but they actually had done themselves, blaming the pastor for what they did. And why were those men not afraid of getting exposed as the guilty one? Because they knew that pastor would never tell what he knew about them. Because you can't be in any type of ministry position if you're a talebearer. So brother, sister, there's lots to be told. The more you get to know someone, the more you have to tell. The more time you spend with someone, the more opportunities you will have, not to necessarily gather some information about them and pass it on, but to pass on some information that you already have about somebody else. But such conversations, they're forbidden in Scripture because they're, why? Because they're very hurtful. They're very destructive to you, to others, and to, yes, to the cause of Christ. So let's go. Let's take a look at some Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. And most of the verses today will be in Proverbs and just a few trips in the New Testament. First place will be Proverbs 10. And look at verse number 12. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Okay. Let me read you the cross-reference in the New Testament written directly to Christians. That's in 1 Peter chapter 4. and verse number 8. 1 Peter 4, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." You say, why does it use the word charity instead of love? I think I've told you before, charity is a word reserved for brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? That's a deeper kind of love. All right? Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So here's what we are told, here's what the Bible says up front here. In Proverbs, if your friends, your associates, your family members, if they're not saved, the Bible says they will have sins that will require you to keep a lid on those things. In the New Testament, if you're saved and your friends and your associates and your family members are saved, they will have a multitude of sins for you to keep the lid on. So scripture with scripture, tail-bearing is the opposite of love. Revealing everything that you know is the opposite of charity. Okay, I could hurt you, you could hurt me, we could hurt one another with the dirt and the information that we have on one another. If we love each other, the tale is not told. Look what goes on in politics. How is it that so many sinful things are being done on both sides, and all we can do is scratch our heads and say, why doesn't somebody do something about that? Why don't they arrest these people and put them in jail? Well, because everybody's got tales to tell. Everybody's got information. And so the charitable thing to do, the loving thing to do, is just let it all go on, because, oh, if we take the lid off, the pot is going to boil over and we're all going to be in trouble. Now, before you get angry with someone, look, I understand friendships, they end from time to time. I understand the closest of relationships end from time to time. But before you run off and try and destroy that person, you think you're going to do something, you say something to hurt them, you better sit tight and evaluate whether or not they have some destructive ammunition of their own. I don't want to come to church every week and gather together with tale bearers telling tales. No, I want to gather together with people that come to encourage one another, uplift one another, sing about Jesus, talk about Jesus, preach about Jesus. Look, in theory, we know everybody's a sinner. Let's just leave that in the theory category, okay? Let's not do deep dive analysis of one another and try and prove that we're all sinners. Okay, we know it. Let's just take God's word for it. You're all sinners. You're all sinners. I'm a sinner. We're agreed on that. All right? We got it. We got that. Now, the how and the why and the how often, let's just leave that stuff alone, okay? And if we stumble across it and, you know, we learn something accidentally maybe, how about we just keep that undercover? Unless it becomes an issue that has to be dealt with so it doesn't hurt the rest of the congregation. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. Proverbs 17 is the next place. Proverbs chapter 17. Do you want to have friends? Do you want to have long-standing relationships? All right, here we go. Verse number 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You can ruin the best of friendships with your mouth. You can divide the closest of relationships just by telling what you know. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not lying. We're not talking about lying today. We're talking about repeating possibly factual information but it just does not need to be repeated. Probably everybody here whose children are over 10, 15, 20, 30 has had some disappointments in dealing with their children. Have had their children do some things that they hoped that their children would never do. Well, let's just put that on the bulletin board and let's just list all of our kids' transgressions and make sure they never, never, ever want to set foot in this place ever again. Because everybody's got a full catalog of all their misdeeds. You just told the church every bad thing about your kid. You think that kid's going to want to keep coming to church? Okay? Isn't pray for my kids good enough? Isn't pray for my family good enough? Isn't just help me pray? I want to have a good marriage. You know, you don't have to say you have a bad marriage. You don't have to say you're having trouble and tell anyone what it is. Just say, pray for my marriage. I want to have a great marriage. Okay, is everything okay? Well, you know, it could be better, but it could always be better. But, yeah, would you just pray for me? Leave it at that. Okay, you don't have to tell everything you know to everyone you know. That doesn't help. It doesn't heal. It doesn't strengthen. What it does, it just divides. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 18. You might want to keep a hand in Proverbs there. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. I think the people listening in on Zoom ought to be required to put their cameras on so we can make sure they're not sitting there in their pajamas. All right. At least put a shirt on if you're going to come to church and on live stream. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15. Okay, watch this. 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, okay, so here's an assumption on Jesus' part that your brothers, your sisters, are going to trespass against you. It is a given. So don't be surprised when it happens. You know, I can't believe he did that to me. Why don't you believe it? Where have you been reading? Okay, read the Bible. You'll find out. And the Bible said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Okay, now watch here. There's two things here, and they're both important. You go to the person, to the person who did something that displeased you before you go to anyone else. You tell him, you tell her before you tell anyone else, right? That's what it says. Now, that's something I think we can easily agree on. But the second step is it is not then go tell two or three people what they did to you, right? That's not what Jesus said. The second step is get two or three people to go with you the next time you tell him the same thing you already told him in private, okay? So, well, he wouldn't hear me, so I'm going to go tell some people. That's not what he said. He said, you're going to go tell him again, but this time you're going to take some people to back you up. so that maybe he'll understand. Oh, you know, this really is serious, I guess. There's three people here who agree that maybe I shouldn't have done that. Okay, he understands it's not just his opinion versus my opinion that way. Okay, so our idea is, well, I went and talked to him and he wouldn't hear me, so now I'm going to tell all of you people so you know, watch out for him. That's not what Jesus said. Then Jesus continues in verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Okay? The only circumstance under which you ever tell the church what someone else has done that is wrong is after you have dealt with it personally and privately, and then dealt with it personally with two or three witnesses. So this means this idea of just in casual conversation, letting things be known, and in these little group settings where we're just chit-chatting, we say, oh, by the way, I just thought you should know this. That is not an option that Jesus has given here, because it's not that is not designed to correct the problem, to mend the relationship. Okay, it's designed to get people to join you in your animosity, your bitterness toward that other person. And that's not supposed to be the objective. Okay? You want your friend back. You want the friendship to keep going. Okay? Look in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Did you know, I'm surprised to learn this, some churches in America, they now have a security team in place, and the security team is in place because frequently in this day and age, people are going to church with weapons and using them to hurt and to harm other people. And so I guess it's a new church ministry you might see these days, you know, where churches are doing everything they can to prevent people from being hurt and harmed by those who would misuse weapons. Okay. All right, but look at this. Proverbs 25, verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul. That's a big old sledgehammer. And a sword. And a sharp arrow. So, hey, we need to be setting up security teams to stop talebearers because they're using their ability to speak, and which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're using it to injure people and to hurt people. Now, it's a funny thing how we are. Oh, he's got a gun. Oh, he's got a knife. How about, oh, he's got a tongue. Someone here, maybe you know somebody who's been shot. Probably you don't, but maybe you do. Maybe somebody here knows somebody that's been shot. Maybe you know somebody who's been stabbed, or maybe even just by accident, play fighting or something. But everyone here, I guarantee you, has been hurt by somebody's mouth. Gun control, that's not high on my list of priorities. Knife control, that's not high on my list of priorities. Mouth control, that's way up there, man. Way up there. Brother, sister, biblically, we should be as concerned about the danger of having a loaded gun in your hand as the danger of having something in your heart against somebody because your mouth could go off at any time. Most guns, as far as I know, I'm not an expert on gun stuff, but you know, I did learn how to shoot a M16A1 and had to requalify on that every year for 8 years, and did a little bit of skeet shooting with my sons one time. So, you know, not real big on gun stuff, but what I do know is most guns, I think they have a what they call a safety on there. So you can't, you pull a trigger, nothing happens. It's safe that way. Okay? One of the combat veterans was on his deathbed. The preacher asked him, "What are you looking forward to most? I mean, besides seeing those streets of gold and those mansions and all that stuff." He looked at that preacher and he said, "Pastor, this is the last night that I'll go to sleep seeing all those men that I killed face to face. That's what I'm looking forward to the most." Okay. Now, wouldn't it be great if some people went to bed every night feeling bad about the preacher they destroyed, or the church they split, or the friendship they busted up, or the home that they wrecked? You understand, this tongue, it hurts people. It hurts people, and there's no safety on it. God didn't build that in. You got to control it, keep it under control, or it could go off. It could hurt somebody. Okay, tongue hurts people. These tale-bearing, gossiping stories that people tell hurts people. Why? So people will like you more than the other person? Put that gun away. Put that sword back in the sheath. Most guns, like I said, they got a safety on them. Too bad there's not something on your tongue, a little switch, a little safety switch on the tongue. That'd be nice. Just get up there in the morning. Get up in the morning, reach in there before you go out and see your wife in the kitchen. You'll be safe. You can have a nice conversation. Not worry about saying something hurtful. Put that safety on. Okay? Wives, before your husband comes home from work, put the safety on. Now, the funny thing is, most people have somewhat of a safety, it seems like. Problem is, they only use it at work. You know, the boss says something, they want to say something back, but they don't. They bite their tongue. A coworker says something, they bite their tongue. Customer says something, they bite their tongue. They get home, they don't bite. They let her rip. You know, they don't bite their tongue. They use their tongue to bite everybody else. It's kind of like we can control it when we want to. But you young people, I'm telling you, if you want to have friends at all, you better stop all that talking about people. All right, Proverbs 17. You say, we were just there. We're going to look at one again we just read. Proverbs 17, verse 9, again. For you teenagers, listen now. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Do you want people to love you? Do you want to have friends? Then let it be known that when your lady, young lady, when your girlfriend is sad or scared or lonely or got her feelings hurt, she knows. She can come to you. And that's as far as it's going if she wants to tell you about it. And you young men, you guys, you want to have friends, you want people to love you, then when you find out something about your buddy and he told you something in confidence that he's struggling with or having a hard time with or an attitude situation, if he knows that's as far as it's going to go, you're going to have a friend for life. On the other hand, if he goes out and he sees a bunch of guys there and they're laughing and they're making fun of him because he trusted you, he poured his heart out to you and you went and told them, and now they're laughing at him, making fun of him, you'll never have a friend in this world. That's Bible. That's Bible. All right, go to chapter 20 of Proverbs. Proverbs 20 and verse number 19. Because here's what happens. Verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Okay, that's what a talebearer is. You're telling things that other people don't know because you know them. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. If it gets out that you're a talebearer, people are just going to leave you alone. And that's what you'll be. You'll be alone. That's not a good place to be. Now, if you know somebody that's a talebearer, the Bible says that is not someone you want to meddle with. Don't go pouring out your heart to people that are waiting to publish what's on your heart. Don't go revealing your troubles, your problems, your sins, your faults, all that stuff. Don't go pouring that stuff out to people who just can't wait to spread the news. Don't meddle with a talebearer. All right, Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. I guess this is not really shouting ground here today, is it? But man, it's important stuff. I hope you're getting it. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So let's pick on somebody today. I think I'll pick on Brother Emmanuel because he's here. He's always here, and he's a good sport. We'll pick on him. So let's just say I'm out there. I go leave church. I bump into Emmanuel at the Lulu hypermarket, and there's only two containers of hand sanitizer left on the shelf. Emmanuel, he sees me walking over to that shelf, almost ready to reach for it. And you know, right around the corner on the next aisle, there's like 8,000 bars of soap. He could get one of those, but you know, that takes 20 seconds. You know, I don't have 20 seconds to waste washing my hands. And so, you know, hand sanitizer, that's instant. So I need to have that. I got to have it. And anyway, the last two containers of hand sanitizer on the shelf. And Emmanuel, he sees me coming, and he grabs both of those for himself. And I say, brother, I needed that hand sanitizer. I was going to sell it on eBay for $50. And you grabbed two of them. You don't need two of them. And he said, yeah, I need one for me, one for my wife. I said, well, what about Christopher? Well, he's on his own. Anyway, so he buys the sanitizer. He goes home. I finish up my shopping, and I go sit in my car. I'm steaming. I say, man, that Emmanuel, I thought that Emmanuel was my friend. He's not my friend. He's covetous. Do you see that? He's selfish. I'm pretty sure he hates me, or else he wouldn't have done that. I think he wants me to die. He wants me to get the virus and die. I can't believe he did that. So there I am. I'm sitting in the Lulu parking lot, and I'm just furious with Emmanuel. And just about when I'm ready to leave, Brother James pulls up next to me. And he's there to buy some frozen pizzas and some microwave dinners because Diane's not there to cook for him. And James sees me sitting there in my car, and he comes over to be friendly just to say hi. And listen, James, he doesn't need to be mad at Emmanuel. He doesn't need to have a bad attitude towards Emmanuel. But I can't wait to get out of my car and tell James that Emmanuel is rude and selfish, and he wants me to die of the virus. And so that's what I do. I open my big mouth, and guess what I just did? I just heated that fire up a little hotter. Now, I could have called Emmanuel and said, brother, you know, you probably didn't mean anything by it. And even if you did, it's not really not that, I realize it's not that big a deal. I mean, I'm going to die of something anyway someday. If I had the hand sanitizer, you know, it'd probably be like the other bottle of sanitizer in my house. It's been there for over a year. Never touched the thing. my theory is on that, the more germs you ingest, the stronger your immune system is. Just like lifting weights or something. I don't know. Anyway, so I could have called Emmanuel, but I didn't. Because I wanted to be angry with Emmanuel. I wanted to kind of keep that fire going a little bit. So I told Brother James. And then he goes home and gets on his daily video chat with his wife. And he says, boy, you should have seen the pastor today. He was so mad at Brother Emmanuel, I thought he was going to cuss. And she says, why? What happened? And James says, well, he saw Emmanuel in the store today. And you know what Emmanuel did? And on it goes. It doesn't stop there. You see how it works? And listen, within 24 hours, we could have a big old bonfire going in here over the tail of a stupid container of hand sanitizer, told and retold and embellished and exaggerated and told and retold. Or I could have said, first of all, it's not that big a deal. I'm just going to forget about it. Why tell anybody? Because it's not that big a deal. If it was a bigger deal, I could have called Emmanuel and just to work it out. And come to find out, Emmanuel says, brother, you went and spoiled everything. I was going to gift wrap this and give it to you for pastor appreciation on Friday. But now you know, you kind of ruined the whole surprise. So I'm trying to end the story by making Emmanuel look good, see? All right, so you understand. Why throw petrol on the fire? That's what you're doing. Why pile wood on the fire? When you got a problem with somebody, real or imagined, the more people you involve in it, the better chance there is that that fire's going to get out of control and burn the woods down and burn the house down and burn the church down. Let's keep going here. Proverbs 26, verse 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You get a fire going, and it's getting dark, so you want to put that fire out because you're going to go to bed. You're not going to just leave it there, burn down the forest. So you're trying to let it cool down. How are you going to do that? You're going to separate the coals, so the hot coals, so it'll cool off, cool down and go out. And then there's some crazy guy like, I don't know, the pastor who comes along and he says, let's just throw one more thing on there. Let's watch it go. You know what? Every time something gets stirred up in a church, you try to put it out, settle it down. And there's always somebody that just wants to throw some more wood on it, stir up those coals. Oh, yeah, well, I might forgive you this time, but, you know, we still haven't fixed that thing from last time. Why don't you just separate all those coals? Let them cool down. Throw some dirt on them. Cover them up. One man, he said, my wife and I, we've only ever had one argument. It's been going 26 years, but still, we've only had one argument. You know what happens? Every time something new comes up, it's really not something new. It's something added to the fire that's been burning for years. Put it out. Put it out. Verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Deep wounds. Okay, husbands say, and there's all these jokes, you know, it's not just husbands and wives, but a man will say, you know, I said something hurtful to my wife 7 years ago, and she keeps bringing it up. Well, do you know why? Because it got way down deep. It got way down deep. When somebody confides in you and you betray their trust, somebody pours out their heart to you and you just make light of it, no big deal. You make a mockery of it, spread it all over the place. That's the kind of thing that gets way down deep. Way down deep. And you'll have a hard time ever overcoming that wound. Don't tell what you know. Don't spread everything you found out. Amen. Let the fire go out. Verse 23, burning lips and a wicked heart. How many times have we seen so far in these studies that heart and that tongue, they're tied together? Man, they're tied together. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Okay, so here we go. Let's watch carefully. I'll try to paint this picture in your mind here. You go down to the store. You need something to carry water in. You need something to put flowers in. You're looking for something that for that empty spot on the one table in the one corner of the living room. And you're in the store, and there it is, a beautiful vase. So you see this beautiful vase. You say it's the perfect color. It's overlaid with silver. Nice. Flowers in a pot overlaid with silver. Decoration on the dining room overlaid with silver, okay? If you drop that pot and break it, who cares that a scrap piece of pottery is overlaid with silver? Because now it's worthless junk. You know what the Lord said? This ability to speak, it is a great treasure. It's a great gift. It's a great blessing, very useful. If you use it wrong, it's a piece of junk. If you use it wrong, it's worthless. Beautiful vase, many uses. Beautiful to look at, cheering the heart, serves a purpose, carry things, hold things. Break it into 100 pieces, it's junk. Ability to speak, amazing. Sing praises to the Lord. Encourage your friends. Tell the truth. If you're a talebearer, it's junk. It's powerful. Powerful. This afternoon, if I said, how many of you know something about your best friend that they wouldn't want everybody to know, we could probably all raise our hands. But you know why they're... That you know why they are your best friend? Because nobody else knows. Isn't that a blessing? You want to lose every friend you've got? Tell what you know. You want to tear a church all to pieces? Just get together and, well, I saw him. I saw her. I saw them. Did you know that they, you know, I heard. Then you got a bunch of people under one roof who've all been hurt by one another, have no trust, no confidence, no friendships, and it's not church anymore. Amen. So Lord, help us. Lord, help us to have between our lips a beautiful silver vessel instead of a bunch of broken shards of worthless pottery. No tail bearing. Young people, no tail bearing. Learn to stop. Learn to stop. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have such a wonderful gift in our ability to speak and be a blessing to others using our speech. But Lord, we do fail sometimes. And I pray, Lord, that if we've messed up friendships because of those failures, our misuse of our tongue, if we've hurt people by it, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to put those fires out, mend those relationships, and prevent any more misuse of our tongue in our lives as we go on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.